Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, go ahead and hit that subscribe button today. Right there for you at YouTube. There's also, as well, you can subscribe today on Twitch. You can go ahead and do that as well on wherever we're at, including every podcast player. You can go ahead and subscribe so you get the latest notifications right there for you when we go live on the air at YouTube, and also when our podcasts drop each and every time out right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Plus, if you could like our good friends, the Lakerholics.com crew, plus our good friends as well at LakersBall.com, go ahead and check out Joe Sorrow, a.k.a. Ox1947, today at LakersBall.com. Plus our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. You can go ahead and check out all that stuff and support it as Laker fans, as I know you can. It is sincerely appreciated. Thanks so much for joining us once again at the Lakers Fast Break. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here, and it's number 500 for us. That's right, 500th episode of the Lakers Fast Break. And who better to talk Lakers with me on this special episode than none other than our original guest, number one. You got to go ahead and check him out today on Facebook at Healthy Movement Blueprint. It is Boomer Perot. And Boomer, great to have you back. Number one, now number 500.
I'm honored. No place I'd rather be.
All right. Well, I truly appreciate it, my friend. I remember our first conversation that, you know, you wanted to be a part of this because the fact that you're on the East Coast, and there's so very few Lakers fans that you know of at the time that you could connect with to speak about Lakers. So has anything changed in the 499 episodes since?
The same two or three people I was talking basketball with back then who are not Lakers fans are still the only two to three basketball fans I still talk to. Not much has changed.
All right. No worries. Just thought I'd get an update on that, but I truly appreciate you sharing that. But it is the Lakers during this offseason. I know you're very familiar with what's going on. You know LeBron has an extension on the table, could be up to 2 years, $90 million plus if he wants to choose it. Plus also as well, you've got the situation going on with the future for Russell Westbrook. We don't know what that will be, whether he stays on the team, whether he gets traded, the various trade rumors of him possibly going from anywhere from Indiana to Utah to Brooklyn, the controversy surrounding Kevin Durant. Will that expedite things for maybe a Kyrie Irving trade? So many things to talk about as far as what overall Lakers fans are talking about. But your thoughts on what's going on with the Lakers in this very newsworthy offseason?
Yeah, well, I think like most other Lakers fans, this wasn't the offseason we envisioned. I think for whatever reason, most Lakers fans wanted to get rid of Westbrook, and we thought it would probably happen for whatever reason. I think just, you know, in the past, we've gotten lucky with some trades. and we've been close, obviously. You know, it seems to be the biggest holdup is just giving up two first round picks versus one in a lot of these trades. But, you know, they've made a lot of moves to get younger, get a couple more 3-point shooters. The problem is, I think, like last year, we're signing a lot of these guys who are very one dimensional. So maybe it was someone like Melo who could score, but he was old, couldn't, you know, shoot. And then we pick up somebody like, or we re-sign Stanley Johnson, who isn't much of an offensive weapon, but he's good at defense. So, you know, I feel like we find ourselves in a very similar spot as we did last year. But because we had that crazy season last year, we, you know, the expectations are definitely not where they were. But yeah, you know, everything, I think, still not that there's as many moves to be made afterwards, but I think everything is being held up, including LeBron making his decision, being held up by if we can trade Westbrook or not.
So that's what I want to ask you as far as LeBron James. If you're in his shoes right now, you're talking to everyone there as far as your team, your legal team, your agent, you have what has been presented to you as most likely a 2-year extension offered to you by the Lakers. What are you pondering right now?
Just really to see where the team is. Like, if I was him, I see no need to sign this extension right now. If I could do it next offseason, you know, the only thing that would really make that not possible for me if I'm LeBron is some catastrophic injury. But at that point, you know, he's probably not playing basketball outside of that. So it's not like he's going to fall off a cliff where all of a sudden Lakers don't want him. He's still going to be LeBron James, a top 10 player in the league. You know, worst case, if he somehow falls off a lot when no one expects him to top 15 player. So that offer, that money will still be there. But just after everything that happened last offseason, I just want to see how this team performs. And if they have another poor offseason and then don't make any moves that look to put the Lakers in championship contention the year after that, there's no reason for LeBron to, you know, come back.
So where do you think the Lakers stand as of right now without any changes? And we'll talk about the Russell Westbrook, you know, saga as far as where it has gone and where do you think it will go here in a little bit. But as far as where they stand right now, you saw that they made wholesale changes. In fact, 10 of the individuals on last year's team don't even have a place in the NBA right now. They don't even have a spot that they moved onto, which tells you about the lack of depth that the team had last year because the team was just so old. The team decided to go in a completely different direction. They went a lot younger with a lot of their signings. And with that, though, doesn't seem to be the kind of things that still need to fill out the roster the way I think LeBron James would like to see.
Yeah, this is just a team. Every year since LeBron has been here, this was a team that looked like they could very easily find themselves in the finals. This is not one of those teams. Not only is the West just super, super stacked this year, but the roster itself just isn't a championship-like roster. So instead of setting the sights on, oh, can we make the championships? I think it's right now, can we even make the playoffs? Yeah. I just don't see a ton of two-way players, just enough talent, really. First, you need AD to stay healthy. And let's just say Westbrook, you know, has a bounce-back year and just fits more into his role. Outside of those top three, there's not a ton of players to look forward to, really. I mean, Kendrick Nunn is probably the one I have, you know, the most interest in, because I feel like a lot of people write him off, but he's only been in the year or in the league for 2 years that he's played at least. And that second year, I think he averaged about 16 points and shot 38% from three. So he can definitely produce a lot, at least on the offensive end. And then, like I said before, outside of that, you don't really have a lot of guys who can do more than one, maybe two things.
And that's of great concern because of the fact that you do need more players who can do things on both ends of the floor adequately in order to support LeBron and AD. And of course, yes, have LeBron and AD healthy and at a level where they both are accustomed to as far as being all-stars, as far as even being all NBA. If you can get back, if you can get both of them back to that level, at least it makes the Lakers competitive.
But you're right, in a stacked Western Conference, I mentioned the other day on one of the other episodes with Jamie Sweet where we were talking about possibly 6 to 9 to even 10 teams that could potentially be better than the Lakers this season. So that's a scary proposition for any Lakers fans out there. I mean, your thoughts. I mean, this Western Conference is just loaded with great teams out there.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at all the teams in the West right now, and you got Phoenix, who's obviously going to be better. Memphis is going to be better. Golden State, Dallas, Denver, Minnesota, Pelicans, and Clippers. I feel like all 8 of those teams are, you know, as close to a lock as they can be, unless the Lakers surprise us, or one of those teams is greatly disappointing. And outside of that, even though Utah has traded Gobert, at this current moment in time, they could still be, you know, just as good, if not better, than the Lakers. You still got Portland, who's getting Lillard back, you know, and a couple other teams that could be surprising. So, like I said before, I think the Lakers are going to be competing to make the playoffs. I don't even think it's, you know, a foregone conclusion that they'll be in it, even without injuries.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts.
Part of this great concern is emanated from the play of Russell Westbrook last season. He came here with a whole lot of fanfare, a lot of divisiveness amongst fans and prognosticators in regards to whether or not he could really become a big boost to the team. A lot of fans said yes, and some others said no. Your thoughts on Russell Westbrook now as it stands after truly was what a forgettable season for him and for the Lakers fans out there. Do you see him under a new coach, Darvin Ham, being able to go ahead and produce somewhat better than he did before last season?
So I'll say it's possible, but I think at this point it's very unlikely, because what you're looking for him to do is really be an off-ball offensive player that, you know, is just a scrappy guy that can maybe get some offensive rebounds, just cut through the lane, which is obviously not what he's ever been. He's always had the ball in his hands. And then also really emphasize that defensive end. Back in his prime, more specifically when KD was here, KD was in OKC with him his first few years, he was actually a pretty good defender. But then, you know, as he got a bit older, he stopped caring as much, or maybe, you know, saving some of that energy for the offensive end, which was needed, you know, after KD left. At this point, though, I think it just, you look at the dunks he misses, some of the, you know, times he goes up and just lays it up rather than dunking. I think it's obvious, and combine that with his age plus the injuries, it looks like he's definitely lost a little bit of that athleticism. And he's still very athletic, but once that starts to go for a guy who, I don't want to say relied on the athleticism, but definitely took advantage of it, especially driving through the lane, I just don't know if he is the same player. Even if he could change that mindset, change how he wanted to play, I just don't know if he's as good anymore, because I don't think he can be, you know, a great defender like he could have been back in his prime. You know, it's going to be tough as a guy who's willing to be the number three, number four guy. I'm not saying, you know, he can't do that, but I just don't think playing your whole career in a specific way to now change it all and do the complete opposite. Like, you look at Melo. Melo was a ball dominant guy, but when he had to change, was not necessarily how he played, just his role. It was a, hey, you're not going to be the ball dominant guy, but we're still going to look for you for points. The Lakers aren't looking for Westbrook to control the ball, get 10 assists and take 30 shots a game like he's used to. They're looking for him to play off ball, play some good defense and get points off ball. And I just don't know if he'll be able to do that.
So the quandary now is that you have this individual who doesn't fit the style of game that you want to go ahead and play in the Lakers land. And that is Russell Westbrook. I mean, he has never been an efficient shooter, especially from the outside, and has never been someone that has been careful with the ball, especially with high usage. His usage with LeBron actually goes down, but his turnover ratio is still there. And his defensive rating, as you mentioned, is not that good at all. In fact, he had his worst year ever at 113.6. So that's really not something that's very good. In fact, one of the worst in the NBA. So you have all these factors about how bad a season was for him. And now with his $47 million contract, with 1 year left on this contract, he is really someone that the Lakers have been trying to put out there as far as for a possible trade. Do you see anything going on? I mean, I know you've heard the rumors, Indiana, Brooklyn, Utah, some way for the Lakers to go ahead and package him in a deal. Do you see it ultimately taking off, or do you see him on the roster come training camp and come the regular season?
If you believe the rumors and the trades that have been thrown out, and you know all the speculation that whether it was Indiana or Brooklyn are the two big ones that were willing to do the trade, if Lakers threw in the 2029 pick as well as the 2027, but Lakers declined to do that, I would say it's definitely possible. My guess is he is on the roster opening night. The one thing that I think could bring a little more optimism is if the Lakers are actually playing somewhat well, maybe not, you know, championship contending well, but well enough, and Westbrook isn't looking awful. I think at the trade deadline with that expiring contract, they might be able to trade him to get a few pieces that could maybe put them over the edge. But as of right now, unless Brooklyn is able to trade KD and then they're actively looking to trade Kyrie, and we can get back into those trade discussions, as of right now, I see Westbrook on the roster opening night.
And if that's the case, do you actually play him, or do you do something similar to what Houston did last year with John Wall and said, okay, you know what? We're going to pay you because we can't trade your contract. It's not as attractive right now. But I'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead and let you go and work out at home, you know, wherever you want to go ahead and do. We're just going to make sure we develop our young crew. In this case, it would be something where we just think, Russell, that it's just not jiving with LeBron and AD, that the tensions are there, especially after what we saw in Summer League. I think it's just best if we go ahead and, you know, you go and work out somewhere else, or you can use the facilities, but we're just not going to be able to play you at this point in time. Do you see that happening?
To start the year, I don't, because the reports were that he met with management a few weeks ago and they were upfront with him and told him he has to play more off ball. He has to be more defensive minded, and that they are willing to bench him if he's not producing. So I think to start the year, he is the starter. He is still playing 25, 30 minutes a game, but after 10, 15 games, depending on what the record is, depending on how he's playing, then I could definitely see them either trying to bench him if he's willing to have a much more limited role, or at that point, if he's not, send him home and say, hey, you know, sorry, but we're better off without you.
That would be a shame, especially as someone who, again, even though he's not at the level that he once was, and he had an awful season last year, he is, again, as I mentioned before on this show, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no argument there. MVP, he's the all-time leader in triple-doubles, and no one can take away the great career that he's had. It's just, like you said, at a point where an athlete gets to where everybody catches up and passes them on by. It happens to everyone. Hasn't happened to LeBron quite yet, but it's happened seemingly right now, unless things change with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, and a lot of it is when you get to that point, if you have the skills on the court, you can get away with it for a few more years. But if you don't, it's being able to check that ego and play a different role where you may not be that star, but you could still be a really effective player. And, you know, what he's sort of like Kobe, which is what makes him great is also one of their biggest flaws, is that crazy, crazy ego. Like, they truly do believe that whether they're 50 years old or in their primes, that they are the best player on the court and they can score at any moment. And so while that is what made him so special in his prime years, it's also what I think has been his downfall for this past few years, really, this past year. Because he did have his moments with Washington the year before, especially towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And especially when Houston the year before that, when they went super small, had PJ Tucker playing center, he also changed up his game a bit and went more focused on, you know, almost playing like a big man in a way, especially going for those rebounds. And so he was still effective there. But this past year, he was definitely not effective at any point, really.
Do you see it as an involvement of the game? Because especially from the backcourt position, A, you got to be an effective guard in the league. I think at this point in time, you need to be able to shoot from the outside consistently, at least at 35% and above, and then being able to defend at least adequately in order to be a competent guard that it can be relied upon in the league, because the way the game is evolving towards more threes, to teams go small, they go to a situation where they hunt weaknesses within the defense. Do you see the point where you have to go ahead and be adequate as far as from the outside and defensively? Do you think that's one of the reasons why Russell Westbrook's game has not aged as well as maybe some others?
I think it's definitely important. I don't even think just for guards, but at this point, from the point guard all the way down to the center, I think you can become a liability now in offense if you can't shoot threes. But I think if you are really, really good at something else. So, for example, you take Ben Simmons, while, as you know, he's had a heck of a lot of problems in the playoffs, I think mainly mentally more than anything. But you look at his regular seasons, he is one of the best top 25 regular season players, and he never shoots threes. But he's just really good at everything else. So I think if you're a great defender, or you are great, say, you know, scoring from 15 feet and in, like DeMar DeRozan, who's never been a good three-point shooter, I think you can definitely get away with it. But you have to be really good at something else, or a few different things, or at least great at one other thing, if you can't shoot to three in this game, especially as a guard. As far as the defense, though, I don't know if you necessarily have to play defense, only because the best example of that is Trae Young, who has consistently been one of the worst defenders in the league in every single season he's played, but he's still considered one of the best 20 players in the league just because he is probably a top 10 offensive player. So I think if you're really good at offense, your team will work around your defensive flaws and just make sure the other two perimeter players can play some good defense. And you obviously need a big man down low to, block some shots, since you're going to be getting blown by a lot of the times.
And 2 years ago, it worked well that way as they went to the conference finals. But last year, we saw that it caught up with them. They had some injuries in the right places, and that's all it took for them to go ahead and have that slide. Whether or not they come back, DeJounte Murray by his side, hopefully we'll see as far as in Atlanta is concerned. But it is the Lakers. Your final thoughts, Boomer? And then, of course, I want to give you a shout-out on what you're doing at the Healthy Movement Blueprint. But before we head on out, your final thoughts on where we go with the Lakers on episode number 500 for you, my friend.
The final thoughts are, I would look at this season as hopefully a season where a lot of stars align and a lot of these young guys like Max Christie and Cole Swider can somehow play like they're in their fourth year instead of their first year. And we, surprise some people. And more importantly, hopefully we wake up one day in the next 2 months and see that we've traded for, whether it's Kyrie Irving and Seth Curry or Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. And I think everyone will be much more excited about this season.
I know that a lot of people that I host on the show with, that they would agree with you on that wholeheartedly indeed. And if we could finally put the Russell Westbrook era behind us. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out. I know his homecoming to LA is not what he had planned it, and not what Lakers had planned it for as well. But Boomer, it's been just great to have you on. But before we head on out, it's the Healthy Movement Blueprint. Can you let everyone know what it's all about?
Yeah, so I think the last time I was on and we talked about it. It's a personal training company. I do online and in-person training. I also do stuff with nutrition, but it was a bit more general then. Over the last however many months it's been, I've found who I can help the most. So now I work with people who work desk jobs, have at least 20 to 25 pounds to lose, and also have back pain. I know it's specific, but if that is someone listening to this right now, I can help you. Just search Healthy Movement Blueprint, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook, you'll find me. We can hop on a call, see if I can help. I offer 100% refunds if you do everything you're supposed to and you don't find any success. So it's pretty much a risk-free thing. But yeah, Healthy Movement Blueprint, just Facebook or Instagram, and you can find me.
So go ahead and check it out today. If you are an individual in need with some back issues, please go ahead and check it out today at the Healthy Movement Blueprint today. But I'll tell you what, Boomer, it's been great to have you on episode 500. My gosh, the time has flown by since our first conversation. I saw the look on your face when you first started. It's like, what the heck am I doing on this show? But my gosh, 499 episodes later, I'm still glad that we're able to talk Lakers. Any last thoughts before we head on out?
No, I mean, I always enjoy coming on. It's nice to talk to somebody just about basketball in general, but obviously specifically the Lakers. So I'm excited for the next time you hopefully invite me back.
Oh, you know, you're always welcome back. You can always hit me up whenever. I always like to get you on those momentum numbers that we hit, but you are always, 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 absolutely always welcome to come back anytime you want. If you want to talk Lakers, just hit me up on the DM. You're always welcome. But you know, when I hit a magical number, you're the first person I call.
Works for me. Works for me.
All right. It is Boomer Parole. You got to go ahead and check it out today. If you have the issues in need, as far as back pain is concerned, where you're at, please go ahead and check him out today at Healthy Movement Blueprint. He can take care of you right away. It is Boomer Parole. Thank you so much for joining us on today's Lakers Fast Break. For everyone out there, if you need to get a chance to talk to me or reach out, have any questions or thoughts or comments, go ahead and subscribe today on YouTube. I've gotten so many more subscribers. Just truly appreciate it. So many tens of thousands of hours and people watching and listening over the course of the past 3 years. We just truly appreciate it. My gosh, 500 episodes. They've flown on by. We cannot thank you enough for all your support over the years on Facebook, where we get your podcasts, and also YouTube as well. If you have any questions for me, at Lakers Fast Break or LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. So for Boomer Parole, this is Gerald Glassford saying thank you so much for listening. Go Lakers, and we'll catch you hopefully next time on the Lakers Fast Break podcast, and hoping we're going to have 500 more episodes of the Lakers Fast Break podcast.